Just a young gun with a quick fuse. I was uptight, wanna let loose. I was dreaming of bigger things and wanna leave my old life behind.
And we are joined once again on a Friday edition of The Scoop by Dan Slabov on the Prowl. Dan, it is All-Star Weekend, so many members of the Timberwolves are off doing non-All-Star related activities. But nonetheless, a little bit of a breather from the NBA season. And as always, happy Friday.
I appreciate it, Seth. A much needed break for the Timberwolves, as well as the entire On the Prowl staff. It's just crazy how long of a span it is until we get to the All-Star break. I mean, we're 61 games into the year, you know, and some people categorize it as a halfway point or as the middle of the season. It is not the middle of the season, that's for sure. But in another sense, I mean, it's like, where are you supposed to put the All-Star? Where are you supposed to put All-Star weekend? Because up till now, there has been NFL playoffs, and then the week between the playoffs, or the week between the NFC and AFC championships and the Super Bowl, that's when the NHL hockey has their All-Star weekend. So it's like every single weekend is packed with primetime sports, and the NBA has to delay the, you know, All-Star weekend until it fits right with you know, the ratings, and, you know, trying to make sure they get the best ratings possible. And that's why we're 61 games of the season. It's finally All-Star weekend. But I'm guessing these players are just exhausted. They've, you know, the Wolves just wrapped up their second hardest stretch of the season, I believe. It, you know, at one point they were playing, they played five games in 7 days, and four of those were in, you know, different cities. And it's been a grind, but a well-deserved break for not only the Timberwolves, but for everyone in the NBA. And I know fans are excited to watch Jimmy Butler and Karl Anthony Towns represent the Timberwolves this weekend and just enjoy the All-Star Weekend festivities.
Yeah, and we'll talk a little bit about the All-Star game and all the festivities attached to it in a little bit. But we got some fun that we're going to have here on today's segment. But wanted to start by talking about the emotional start to the night last night. The Timberwolves were hosting the Los Angeles Lakers, and before the game they had a tribute to Flip Saunders, raising the banner for him that will forever hang in the Target Center, and lots of former players were around. It was cool to see guys like Sam Cassell, Latrell Sprewell, Mark Madsen too. I had completely forgotten he was an assistant for the Lakers. So good to see all of those guys. So I wanted to start first, Dan, by just getting a little bit of your perspective on how things went for the Timberwolves honoring Flip Saunders last night.
It was just phenomenal. The night was much bigger than basketball. It was about a man who changed the culture of Minnesota basketball. And it was great that they, you know, brought out former Timberwolves broadcaster and current TNT broadcaster Kevin Harlan to narrate the event. He's just the perfect voice to do something like that. And then, you know, the Saunders family, along with the Taylors, Glenn and Becky, were there on the court to honor Flip as well. And then to his left, like you were saying, Sam Cassell, Latrell Sprewell, Chauncey Billups, those Cassell and Billups, I believe they both made, you know, give a few thoughts of their own to the Minnesota crowd, which is really, really cool to see. And then along with, like you said, Mark Madsen, Gary Trent, Troy Hudson, it was a really cool scene on the court in Minnesota. It really brought flashbacks, I'm sure, for a lot of fans to 2004. Really disappointing for me to not see Kevin Garnett in the building. Yeah, he was a huge part of, Flip Saunders played a huge part and impact on KG's life. And I know Kevin Garnett and Glenn Taylor have had their differences, and they've kind of split ways in the past. But I think last night, again, like I said, it's much bigger than basketball. And just for one night, you got to set aside your differences and You know, and that's why I think Kevin Garnett should have been in attendance. But you know, it's a work in progress, and hopefully down the road, you know, time heals the wound. And so we'll see how that, you know, turns out. But overall, you know, like I said, I just know the impact Flip had on KG's life, considering, you know, just, you know, the day Flip passed, Kevin Garnett, you know, took a picture of himself in Flip Saunders' parking spot in the downstairs parking lot at the Target Center. And he said, never forget. And that was just a really touching tribute. And I just know how much of an impact, you know, Flip had on KG. But, you know, the night was just fantastic, and it was obviously well-deserved. You know, it felt odd. Flip was missing in a way. Like, his energy was in the building. You know, seeing his son and Ryan laugh at lighthearted jokes about his dad, you could just see Flip. And, I mean, if you ever need a look at what Flip Saunders, you know, may have, you know, look like, or, you know, if you just need a taste of Flip, you just go to his son, Ryan. He's so much like him, and he's got those brown, this is the same brown eyes. They have a ton of similarities, and I'm a big fan of Ryan Saunders as assistant coach, as you can tell. Overall, great job by the Timberwolves to raise a banner in the Target Center honoring Flip. He is the only coach in Timberwolves history to bring them to the playoffs. So that's a pretty crazy stat. And obviously the Timberwolves wouldn't be sitting where they are now with the direction and leadership of Flip Saunders at the helm, bringing in Karl Anthony Towns, trading for Andrew Wiggins, and then, you know, you drafting a guy like Zach LaVine who you can ship for Jimmy Butler. And then, of course, maybe the more underrated, you know, pieces on this team, such as Tyus Jones and Gorgui Dieng. His impact is sprinkled throughout the roster, and his fingerprints are definitely shown. And I think that's really cool. And there's still, you know, so much a flip on this team. So a great night, and of course the Wolves, you know, defeating the Lakers, you know, in the end was a great way to end a great night.
Yeah, I could not agree more with your disappointment in Kevin Garnett not being there. Now, I have kind of a position that I think was how things played out. There were rumors that Garnett had duties for TNT that he had to be a part of in Los Angeles. I feel like that was a familiar way, or a convenient way, I should say, for Garnett not to have to officially say no, or to just not answer the invitation to go. I know there's been a lot of bad blood between him and Glenn Taylor. So I think that's what I'm going with, is that TNT used that as a convenient way for him to not have to decline by just simply saying, we need him here, because there's really no reason that, especially with only two games going on that night, there's no reason that he couldn't have been in Minnesota to be part of the ceremony. But it is what it is, and as mentioned, the Timberwolves beat the Lakers last night, and Taj Gibson certainly had his Wheaties before the game, a career-high 28 points in the win. So good for the Timberwolves to get into the All-Star break with a win, and 36-25, as mentioned. We're going to do a little something fun here. We're going to do a little bit of Wolves trivia. And I think that'll be a perfect way to kind of break up the usual segment. So, Dan, get your trivia cap on, and we'll see how you do here. Five questions, and we'll see how things play out. Are you ready?
I am ready.
All right. We'll get into it here with the first of our Wolves trivia questions. And First question, who is the Wolves current leader in three-point shooting percentage? Is it A, Karl-Anthony Towns, B, Jimmy Butler, C, Jamal Crawford, or D, Nemanja Bjelica?
Well, Seth, I'm going to have to go with A, Karl-Anthony Towns. The big man from Kentucky is shooting over 40% from three this year, which is pretty phenomenal from a seven-foot center. So, A, Karl-Anthony Towns.
You would be close. The answer is actually D. Now, it's much less attempts. Karl-Anthony Towns has shot a lot of threes this year, but Bjelica actually shooting 43% from beyond
the
arc.
Well, so, not off to a good start.
That's all right. I went a little outside the box with these, and you'll see why in this next trivia question, which is, who is the Wolves' current leader in two-point shooting percentage? Is it A, Taj Gibson, B, Nemanja Bjelica, C, Gorgui Dieng, or D, Karl-Anthony Towns?
These are legitimately tough. Oh, my goodness. Wow. Man, you know, it seems like when Taj is in the paint, he gets him to go. It seems like 75% of the time, and obviously that's incorrect, but I feel like Taj never misses down low. If he does, he just tips it back in. But, I mean, I know how talented Carl is down there. So, I mean, I'm going to have to go with Carl Anthony Towns again.
Sorry, Dan. 0-for-2. The answer is Taj Gibson. He is shooting 59.5% on two-point field goals this year. So, I tried to go out of the box, like I said, but also tried to ratchet up the difficulty a little bit. But I promise we've got some good ones coming up. Number three, who is the Wolves' current leader in free throw percentage? Is it A, Tyus Jones, B, Jimmy Butler, C, Jamal Crawford, or D, Karl-Anthony Towns? And again, I stress the attempts not equal for everyone. So that may be a little bit of a hint for you, Dan. Again, leader in free throw percentage. A, Tyus Jones, B, Jimmy Butler, C, Jamal Crawford, or D, Karl-Anthony Towns.
This is tough, Seth, because I know if I get this wrong, you're probably going to find another guest for the show. So, man, this is tough. Can I hear one more time the candidate?
Yes, I see where you're going with this. A, Tyus Jones, B, Jimmy Butler, C, Jamal Crawford, or D, Karl-Anthony Towns.
I feel like out of those four, the Wolves always send Jamal Crawford to the line when the opposing team gets a technical. So Jamal obviously has to be a phenomenal free throw shooter, which he's been his entire career, so Jamal Crawford.
And you are correct. Dan is on the board.
Hey.
Crawford is shooting 90% from the free throw line this year. Obviously much less attempts than Jimmy Butler or Karl-Anthony Towns, but still 90%, which is as you said, pretty darn good. So Dan is on the board. Let's go to question four. Which Wolves player has the most dunks this season? Is it A, Karl-Anthony Towns, B, Taj Gibson, C, Jimmy Butler, or D, Andrew Wiggins?
These are tough. I'm liking these stuff. again, I'm really split between Kat and Taj right here. I'm going to have to go with... I'm going to have to go with Taj Gibson, baby.
Ooh. Close. The answer is Towns. He's got 69 dunks this year. Taj has 62.
Nice.
So very close. But that was the top four. I figured Gorgui would be a little bit higher on this list, but
sure.
Gorgui with just 19 dunks this season.
Okay.
So that is a little bit behind Towns in that list. So the final question, and this is a bonus question. If you get it right, Dan, you win. So we'll throw that out there. The Wolves 36-25 record at the All-Star break is their first record at the break above 500 since A, 2005, B, 2003, C, 2013, or D, 2004?
Oh my. Okay, so 2013, that had to have been that was Kevin Love's last year in Minnesota. And I do not believe that team was above 500 at the break. I'm very confident they weren't, considering they had to make a good stretch, a nice stretch towards the end of the season to even get close to the eighth spot. So I'm gonna not. That's off the board. 2005. I believe they kind of they were unwinding at that point. They were kind of going downhill, and you know, if it was 2003, then it must have been, you know, then I would just go 2003, 2004 were, you know, they were a great season for the Timberwolves, and I'm sure they're both over 500 at that break. So I'm going to have to go D, 2004.
The answer is B. They were at 500 in 2004. They were 27 and 27 at the break. In 2003, they were 37 and 15 at the break, finished 58 and 24, and lost to the Los Angeles Super Team, obviously in the Western Conference Finals. But that 2004 season, they were 27 and 27 at the break. They finished 44 and 38, so were able to get above 500. 2013, you were correct. They were 25 and 28 at the break. And then a couple of other seasons that where they were close to 500. 2006, they were 25 and 27, and 2005, they were 23 and 29. So
you know, Seth, I'm not trying to make any excuses here, but from my perspective, I was thinking that the you know, the 2004 year was the 2003-2004 season.
Okay. That's you know, that is a very valid point, and I think I'm going to give that to you because that's a very valid point. It's these seasons overlap 2 years, so if I would have said 2003-2004 as opposed to just 2003. I think you would have gotten that one. So I going to the judges, and the judges rule with you. So, Dan, you have won this mini edition of Timberwolves Trivia. So congratulations.
Appreciate it.
Dan, as we look at just all the fanfare and events going on at the All-Star break, I know something that I'll have the chance to be a part of for the first time is the On the Prowl All-Star predictions. So just for fans and listeners who haven't maybe seen what is done at On the Prowl for the All-Star break, just give us a little bit of a preview of what to expect.
Yeah, so every year I create my annual All-Star predictions table. The entire On the Prowl staff sends me their predictions for the Rising Stars Challenge team winner, Rising Stars Challenge MVP, Skill Challenge winner, three-point contest winner, dunk contest winner, All-Star Game team winner, and All-Star Game MVP. And I put them into a table with our faces at the top so you can tell who selected which. And, you know, and then I'll update them throughout the All-Star weekend, putting green check marks over the faces, or you know, or I will put a red X over their faces if the selector got the pick wrong. So it's always a fun time keeping up with that over All-Star weekend. And this year the Wolves don't have any participants in any of the, you know, the skills challenge or the 3-point dunk or the 3-point contest, the dunk contest. But yeah, I've obviously in the All-Star game, if it's gonna be a fun night with Cat and Jimmy Butler on the court. So it's just gonna be a fun weekend, and I'm hoping for a great dunk contest. Considering last year's was not too exciting. I believe Glenn Robinson III took home the trophy, and it wasn't even the greatest performance. I think last year was the when people officially really missed and realized how much You know, Zach LaVine needs to be appreciated for what he did to revive the dunk contest.
We'll see how it all plays out. But, yeah, it's amazing what happens when Zach LaVine doesn't participate, that the dunk contest just goes back to being not good. So we'll see if anybody can steal the show in what should be a star-studded All-Star weekend. But as always, Dan, thanks for stopping by the show today, having a little fun with the trivia. And we will have plenty of second half to preview, and we'll recap the All-Star game a little bit when we talk again next week.
21 games, Seth. It's going to be a very, very fast end of the season, that's for sure. So, and I'm hoping personally it goes as fast as possible, considering that, you know, the faster it goes, the faster we can get to the Timberwolves breaking their playoff skid. So next week we almost can start talking about magic numbers, or let's hope we can start conversing about that in the next couple of weeks. And that's going to be an odd thing to talk about for sure. We've never done that on this segment, and you know, neither of us have done that in 13 years. So it's going to be a different change of conversation.
Absolutely, Dan. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you next week.
Hey, thanks, Seth. I appreciate it.